Blog Talk Radio.
Were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and thank God that we're here on another session of Blog Talk Radio. So it's a blessing to be able to look into none other than the Word of God. So that's a blessing to be able to get into the Word of God. So we thank God for that. And thank God for all of our listeners, all of our Blog Talk friends, all of our Facebook followers and friends, and also all of our Twitter listeners and friends. God bless you. It's most definitely good to be here on today. So we thank God. Here we are in the month of March. Years moving on by, and just about springtime in the Midwest. And so we're grateful for that. So as the psalmist David says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." He goes on to say, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath called from the east and the west and from the north and from the south." They wandered. They were in a solitary place. They had no city to dwell in. And he goes on to say, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." So thank God. We know that that's the same Lord that David was talking about is the same one that we're serving and talking about on today. So one psalmist, a psalm of David said, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength, give unto the Lord the glory due his name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." So the voice of the Lord is upon the waters, the glory of God thundereth, the Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful, the voice of the Lord is full of majesty, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars, yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. And so the psalmist goes on to say, "The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." So that's what we're talking about. The one Lord that the psalmist is talking about is the same one. And then in another psalm, 100, says, Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. That was the 100th psalm. So, what a mighty God we serve. One song says, what a mighty God we serve. Song goes on to say, angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. So, yeah, so that, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Anyway, the whole one that I just read, that was a 100 psalm, 5 verses. So we thank God that we're able to be here just another day. And it's of the Lord's mercies, as the prophet Jeremiah said, we are not consumed because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. And the psalmist goes on to say, great is thy faithfulness. So we are serving the true and the living God. And so he's the God of all flesh, as he said to Abraham, is there anything too hard for me? So that's the one that you want to be aligned with, the creator of the ends of the earth. He's fainted not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. The prophet Isaiah says, he giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But the writer in Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So, the self-existing one, the God that always was, as we say in the beginning, God, is a divine testimony. And there was only one witness on the stand, and that was God himself. So, thank God for that. So, that's why I love the word out of St. John, that our intro that we do, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So what a mystery. And that's why Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5 and 19, he says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. And then Apostle Paul said, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's so, be reconciled to God. He had made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Talking about that human body, that Jesus is eternal, but the Son isn't. So the sonship was given. Son of God was made of a woman, made under the law. So in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Galatians 4:4. So Son of God was given for a purpose, because God is a spirit. The divine essence of God is spirit. He's still a spirit. Just because he became a man, he didn't stop being the omnipresent spirit of God. But a spirit cannot shed blood. So that's why he said, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest, but a body thou hast prepared me. So in the 40th Psalm, that's what he's saying, that he come in the volume of the book. It's written of me to do thy will, O God. In the 10th chapter of the book of the Hebrews, and he is talking about the key word in the book of Hebrews is one word, better. So better promises, better covenant, by a more excellent name. So God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. That's sonship. That's the office of sonship. You read in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, then come at the end when he shall put down all rule and authority. And Apostle Paul goes on to say when he writes, he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So it's so important to know what the Word of God says. So sometimes, like somebody said, song, beautiful story of Jesus, tell it everywhere I go. And they go on, and the song says, oh, but it's not just a story. So what an event that happened with the office of the sonship. So he goes on to let us know about the resurrection and everything. But the part that I was making reference to, he was talking about the dead rising. And so if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And then he goes on, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But he goes on to say, because he didn't want them to be ashamed and to be ignorant and everything. So he goes on to say, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Talking about the dead. He was the first one to get up from the dead after his crucifixion. So since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, and every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. And this is the part. Then come at the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. He hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else, what shall they do that are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Question. Why are they then baptized for the dead? Why stand we in jeopardy every hour? And he goes on, I protest to your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. What advantage it me if the dead rise not? Question. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And he goes on, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. That's what I made reference. He didn't want you to be ignorant a little while back. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body. Is it as pleased him, but to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men, another kind of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are celestial bodies celestial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another of the glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, one star different from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in incorruption, is raised in incorruption. Sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So now what you have to see, the last Adam is not the man Adam, but the last Adam is the man Christ Jesus, the Lord himself. So he's, howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. Then first, the first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earth, so are they that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, so are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earth, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit corruption. Neither doth corruption inherit this incorruption. And he goes on, but behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Then he goes on, this is a quote out of the Old Testament. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, that is in the first chapter there of 1 Corinthians is actually, he starts off talking about the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Cephas is Peter, Simon Peter. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me, also as one born in due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, talking about the apostles that were before him. But he says, but yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. So God gave him grace, and that was the grace of God, which was with the Apostle Paul that labored. So that's how a real man of God is. He's not going to exalt himself, but he's given the glory to God because it's because of God's grace he's able to do what he is doing. And this man could speak numbers of languages. His degrees, he had a number of degrees. Like they said, one preacher said his degrees had degrees. So he's a very learned man. But he said, when I come to you, I don't want to know anything save Jesus Christ. So that word save means accept Jesus Christ and him crucified. So it's not about us, but it's about Jesus. That's what is so important. So we don't exalt ourselves. That's why he said we don't preach ourselves, but we preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Like I've said before, God don't have to have me. He can use somebody else, but I thank God for his grace. That is the attitude that we should have. I mean, people nowadays, they are exalting themselves, but it's not about us, but it's about Jesus. So thank God for his grace. So that brings us, and so was the attitude of this mighty man of God who wrote 14 epistles in the New Testament. So, but today what we want to talk about, like we started off talking about Psalms, and today we want to bring our lesson. We're still talking about the Godhead, our lesson out of the 27th Psalm, which is also a Psalm of David. What a great man David was. And David was the son of Jesse, and David was the lineage or the line in which the Lord Jesus Christ was coming through the lineage of David. When you read the genealogies, you can find David and David's father, Jesse, all in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one gospel. There's four gospel writers. Matthew wrote to the Jews, Mark, Luke, and St. John talked about the divine God. So that's why you have to have the Spirit of God to understand. You have to have the Spirit of God to understand the things of God. So the natural man, he don't receive the things of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, because they are spiritually discerned. So you can't understand spiritual things without the Spirit of the Lord or the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of God. So you got to, that's why Jesus was saying that you had to be born again to see the kingdom of God. So you don't see with your eyes, but your eyes are the camera, but you see with your brain. And that's why people say I don't get it, I don't see it. Oh, I see. What they mean, they understand. So we can't understand until God gives us eyes, opens up the eyes of our understanding. This is what, when he wrote in the book of Ephesians about the church and about all the us's in the book of Ephesians, how he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, and he opened up their eyes of understanding that they might know the hope of their calling and all the things that are going on and the purpose of God and being chosen in him before the foundation of the world. So only the Lord can do that, the foreknowledge of God, his will, that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He's not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, Peter wrote, but he's long-suffering, not to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it's up to us to humble ourselves, as James says, under the mighty hand of God, and he'll lift us up. And then Peter said, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And he goes on to say, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Goes on to say, who resists steadfast in the faith. So that's why we have to draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to us. We have to submit ourselves to God, number one, resist the devil, and he will flee. So we don't have to run nowhere. But we just submit ourselves, resist him, submit ourselves to God, and he will flee. And so this man today in the lesson, where we're going to bring our lesson from, the 27th Psalm, he definitely had many encounters with enemies after him. And God anointed him to be king in Israel. And they got the man that they wanted, a big, tall, handsome man by the name Saul, whose father's name was Kish. Big, tall man, but he didn't do what God told him to do. And so God, and what an encounter that the man Saul had. I've never read the scripture when he was anointed to be king, says that this, you're going to be turned into another man. I mean, what a saying when you read. It's in the book of Samuel. Spirit of God came upon Saul, says you're going to be turned into another man. But he was a rebellious man. He didn't do what God said do when he was. And so that's why when the prophet came to him, says, hath not the Lord great delight in burnt offerings? But he went on to say that to obey is better than sacrifice and than burnt offerings and all. So in other words, you might as well be bound down to idols if you don't do what he says. So this is the type of attitude that he had. He didn't do exactly what God told him to do, and he told him to kill those enemies. He didn't do it, saving the ones that he wanted to save. And so God, and to go back even further, the Lord did not want them. They wanted a king like all the other nations. He didn't want them to have a king, but he was their king. But they, oh, we want to be like the other nations. We want a king, so he let them have their way. But when he raised up David, the son of Jesse, all of his will was going to be fulfilled through David, and the fruit of his body is he was going to raise up the Lord. So that was the lineage that he came through, the lineage of David. So that brings us to today, our subject today. We want to talk about the light, salvation, strength, how you don't have to fear if you got and serving the and reverencing the same self-existing one that we're talking about. And so what somebody said, David said in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because notice, nobody's talking. The shepherd is not talking. In the 23rd Psalm, only the sheep is talking. When he goes on to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the shepherd is not talking in the 23rd Psalm, only the sheep. But David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Somebody said, David, he is my shepherd too. So, and they are exactly right. So we want to go on here. I'm thinking of there are a lot more scriptures even on this subject. You just cannot exhaust this particular subject as we go here talking about the Godhead. And so today where we want to bring out our lesson out of the 23rd Psalm. So he goes on. This is a Psalm of David. So David had, like I said, he had many encounters. He had fights that he won. We know that he conquered the big giant Goliath. He brought him down with the five smooth stones. So he was the big giant Goliath wanted to defy all the armies of Israel. So God got in that rock, and he hit the giant right between the eyes and brought him down and cut his head off. Little bitty David. So you got God. That's what's so important. As the word of God says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So Apostle Paul said, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies it. He goes on to say, who is he that condemneth? Well, God doesn't condemn you. That's why he came to save sinners. It doesn't matter what we did. He came to save us from our sins. And we human beings, we categorize sins. Some people, you know, oh, he was a liar. He was an adulterer. He was a fornicator. He was a thief. But God doesn't do that, because it doesn't matter if you didn't do nothing. You got to be saved from yourself because you are a sinner. That's why he came into the world to save sinners. The Apostle Paul said, of whom I am chief, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So the very fact that we were born, we were shaping in iniquity, and in sin did our mother conceive us. So it doesn't matter if we never told a lie, as we said. We were in need of salvation. The very fact, because we were born, we're in the family of Adam. So in Adam all die, even in Christ shall all be made alive. So we got to have the new birth experience, every one of us. So anyway, as David had many encounters, so he wrote and penned this psalm, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." So in other words, he's the one I need. He shows me the way. He illuminates my way. That's why the Bible says, "The entrance of thy word giveth light." It gives understanding to the simple, talking about God's word. And that's why the psalmist says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." So, and he says, he's my salvation. So he's my deliverer. He's my way maker. He opens doors for me. He protects me. So he goes on to say, he asks a question. He's my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So that's the thing that had been going on for centuries. Even before, when the Lord would reveal himself to people of old, they would be fearful. They would be afraid. And he would say, "Fear not." Because that's a natural inclination for a human family, is to fear. But the Lord does not want us to fear. So that's why in the 13th book chapter of the book of the Hebrews, the writer goes on to say, don't be covetous. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. And he goes on to say, "For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," so that we may boldly say, see the connection? "The Lord is my helper, and I would not fear what man shall do unto me." There it is, right there, fear. So that's what people do, they fear. So you got to get to the point. It don't come overnight. I was a scary cat, but I'm not scared now. You got to realize who you are in God. So, yeah, the devil is a real fool. He sells wolf tickets, and he will try you. But you got to let God fight your battles. That don't mean you're not doing nothing. Sometimes I think people, they think children of God are wimps. They can just push over them. But I'm not scared of no devil, and I'm not supposed to be. Not when you're Holy Ghost filled, you're not scared of the devil. That's why the Bible says ye have overcome them, little children, because greater is he that is in you. Because it's talking about Antichrist. And Antichrist shall come. There are many Antichrists in the world. And in 1 John, I'm going to go there right quick. So you don't have to fear them. So there are a lot of Antichrists. It's not just one. It's going to be one Antichrist who's going to be the devil incarnated in a man, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about folks that are antichrist right now that are living. There's so much going on in the world right now, and that's why he was saying about all these ones that are in the world right now, and they're not of the world, but they're not of the Father, but they're of the world. And anyway, he was saying, "Little children, this is the last time you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." Then he goes on to say, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. They had been with us, they would have no doubt continued with us, but they went out that it might be manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth." And he goes on, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledge the Son hath the Father also." So that's just so, what a mystery that is. And so many don't know that. So anyway, he goes on here about what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So that's what I'm saying. The sons of God nowadays, if you're a child of God, you're a son of God or a daughter of God. I mean, but the Bible was written in the masculine gender. But on the other hand, there's parts of the Bible that was written in the female gender. And you read in the book of Proverbs, talking about wisdom and talking about knowledge, take hold of her. She is thy life. Don't let her go. It's talking about wisdom. So it all depends on what is written. But anyway, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out in the world. Hereby know that ye the Spirit of God. Everyone that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. This is what I was talking about. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Them who? The previous verses, the Antichrist. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who is he that is in the world? The devil and all his imps. That's it, the he that is in the world. The evil spirit, who is the devil himself, who the Lord did not make the devil and Satan, but he made Lucifer, who was a beautiful angel, but he wanted to take over, and he got thrown out. And so he made himself the devil. And so if you are a child of God, or you're trying to live right and live for God, then you are an enemy of the devil. He hates us because we are children of God, and he is an enemy of righteousness. So he's actually our adversary, our enemy, but he hates us. He'll reverse it and make us be the enemy. But he's mad because he doesn't have us. So it is with the psalmist David that we're talking about on today. He had many encounters. He had many enemies. And God was on his side. And David, a lot of people will remember the psalmist David by what happened with the encounter that he had with Bathsheba, when he should have been out at wars as with all the other kings, and he wasn't. He saw this beautiful woman bathing on a roof, and he sent and got her, brought her to him, and took her, and she became with child by David. And David had her husband Uriah sent out on the battlefield, and the man loved David and slept on David's porch. David tried to cover it up, had the man killed. And so Nathan the prophet went to David about a year after this had happened and told him about this one little ewe lamb this man had. And then David was saying, the man that done this thing, he should be killed. And Nathan the prophet said, thou art the man. So he let him know about how God had anointed him to be king, and all that God had done for him and what he'd done, and took Bathsheba and had her husband Uriah killed. So David cried out, and that's where in the 51st Psalm, he said, have mercy upon me, O God, because of the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. He goes on, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judge. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. That's where we get that from. But it's the truth, a true psalm. But behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide not thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then shall I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else will I give it. Thou desirest not, and delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. These things were going on back in that time. But the point being, he cried out for fear. And so goes on as the event, I don't like to say the story, but as the event happened, God was saying that you caused the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. He said, the sword shall never depart from thine house. So this is why the writer says in the book of Proverbs that whoso committed adultery with a woman, a wound and a dishonor shall he receive, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. So this is what David had on him all the rest of his natural life. His daughters were raped by his sons. His sons tried to overthrow him, but his one son, Absalom, tried to overthrow his kingdom. His one son raped his daughter, Tamar. I mean, he had so many tragedies to happen. Firstly, the baby that was conceived by Bathsheba, that when Bathsheba was with child from David, when she was still the husband, she was still the wife of Uriah, that God killed that baby. And David knew something was wrong, so that God struck the child who was sick, and God took the child. But then look at God, how he does. So after what happened, David was restored. David took Bathsheba to be his wife, and God blessed David and Bathsheba. And guess who was born after then? She conceived and brought forth a son, and you guessed it, Solomon, one of the wisest men on the earth besides the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord was with him, and the Lord blessed him. And so that's why one psalmist says, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. So this man was truly a man on the run because of things that happened to him in his life. But God was on his side because he believed in that there was one God of a truth. He said, there is no God beside thee. Look at that. Even way back in the Old Testament, the psalmist David knew that there was no other God beside thee. So it is amazing. It is a mystery of godliness, and it is a mystery. And that we read that particular scripture when we go off the air. Great is without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So that is one of the greatest mysteries of all time. So the mystery of Christ, when you read in the book of Ephesians, the book of Colossians, he definitely breaks this down. So that's why we let you know that you got to be born again. You got to repent. Got to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. And God promised, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so the promise of the Holy Ghost, Joel 2:28, it shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. So this was in the Apostle Peter's message that he preached on the day of Pentecost. So you got to be born again. That's when we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So that's the stone which was rejected is made the head of the corner. That's why in the book of Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So we can understand, look back in the Old Testament, a virgin shall be with child and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of his increase there shall be no end. So a lot of these things have not come to pass. The government hasn't been on his shoulder yet. So we can see that these things are getting ready to come to pass. A short work the Lord is doing on the earth. And these are the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, surely I come quickly. And you can read also, he says, I'm coming, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his works shall be. So we don't understand biblical terminology when it says in the seventh chapter of Acts, when they stoned Stephen calling upon God, he looked up and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. That's just a term. Ain't no, how ridiculous is that? Him standing on God's hand. I mean, that don't even make sense. People, your right hand is place of favor, place of power, place of authority. There's only one God. When you read in the book of Revelation, there's one on the throne. After the fourth chapter of Revelation, the church is in heaven, looking back on the things, the visions are going back and forth, looking on the things that are going on in the earth. And so there stood a lamb, as it said, as it had been slain. And then they were looking. They couldn't find no man in heaven, no man in earth, no man under the earth that would take the book out of the hand of him that sat upon the throne. So they looked, and lo, in the midst of the throne, there stood a lamb, and he came and took the book out of the hand of him that sat on the throne. He took it from himself. Nobody else could do it. So it was God himself that did it. Like somebody said, he got up, but he didn't get up, but he got up, he left, but he didn't leave. So God is everywhere in every place. He can leave you, come to you. He ain't gone nowhere. He's everywhere in every place. His eyes are running to and fro throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil. His word goes forth. His word skips. His word is mighty. He thunders across the sea. I mean, somebody said they saw him walking on the wings of the wind. I mean, he is a mighty God. He can do whatever he will. So anyway, so this is who we are talking about. Some of all these things that we are talking about, that the Lord did, that the Lord is going to do, this is the Lord that David says is my light and my salvation. So he said, whom shall I fear? He's the strength of my life, the Lord. Whom shall I be afraid? So he says, when my wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. So he goes on, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, and this will I be confident. And see, this is what we have to do. That's why one writer said, commit your way unto the Lord, trust all so in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So it's what we have to do. I mean, it's not hard, but it's commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass. So you got to commit, you got to trust. Sometimes it seems like you may be going under, but if you believe God, if you're submitting yourself and realize you're in the hand of God, then you're not worried about no devil in hell getting you or doing anything to harm you. Jesus says that no man can pluck you out of my hand. So realize that it's in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. Our life is in his hands. I'm not worried about no devil. And I make what a declaration sometimes we make as preachers and teachers. Tell the devil, you should have killed me while you had me, you dummy. You didn't kill me, so you might as well get out of my face now, because you're not going to ruin me. So you're the piece of trash that you are. So he goes on to say, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. From the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And listen what he says. Listen to what David is saying. Now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And he goes on, hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. See, this is the promise that we have. You've been born again in the New Testament church, and knowing that the church started on the day of Pentecost. That's why Jesus told them to go back to the city of Jerusalem, wait till they be endued with power from on high. And so he led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up his hand and blessed them, and he stepped on a cloud and was received out of their sight. That's why they said, ye men of Israel, why stand ye gazing in the book of Acts? The same Jesus which is taken up shall come in like manner. That is the second coming of the Lord. When he comes back, the writer says, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. That's in the book of Jude. Coming back to fight, coming back to execute judgment. So the rapture or the catching away of the bride of Christ is, or the appearing is the catching away of the church. He's going to appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So when he makes his appearance, we're going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. The last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Those scriptures that I read in the beginning. So that is what you got to be. That's why you got to be born again. And ain't no grave is going to be open. But God is coming back to redeem our souls. So that's why he said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. So we know the coming of the Lord is nigh or near. As he said, when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be terrified. So people's hearts are going to be failing them for fear, looking at things that are coming on the earth. Then he told us to remember Lot's wife. So you know what happened back during that particular time. So we can see it all getting ready to wind up. So we got to have the mentality like the man David. So he goes on to say, hide not thy face far from me. Put not away thy servant in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. We got to have that same bulldog tenacity like David, King David, or the psalmist David had. And these were songs. This book of Psalms is the hymn book of the Bible. They sung these songs. These were songs of deliverance. Even there were songs that Moses had in the book of Deuteronomy was a song that he wrote to the children of Israel. So he goes on to say, teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over to the will of my enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. So that sounds just like today. So he goes on, I had fainted lest I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So here's the part that's hard for us. He says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So you waiting on God don't mean you're not doing nothing. It's like you go in a restaurant. The waiter is waiting on you. So when you're waiting, you are serving when you're waiting. So when you're watching and when you're praying, you're still doing something. It's not that you're not idle, or you're not laying dormant, but you are still doing something when you're doing that. And so this is the kind of mentality mental state that David, the psalmist, was in. And so we weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to pulling down the strongholds, casting down imaginations, bringing into obedience everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of Christ. So we are in warfare. We are in spiritual warfare, and many times people don't understand that. I mean, I'm binding devils and cursing devils right now in my spirit. So the warfare is going on. I mean, you are warring in your spirit. You can pray in the spirit, and before you ever open your mouth, you're praying. It never end. Even like the song never ends, and the warfare never ends, because that's why Peter said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." So I mean, it's the same devil that the Lord said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" So he was saying, "Whence cometh thou, Satan?" He said, "From walking up and down and to and up and down and to and fro in the earth." So he's doing the same thing that he was doing. So he is the enemy, and he can't be saved. Those fallen angels can't be saved. And so they hate us, and they want to destroy who was made in God's image, and that is man and woman, Adam and Eve. And so in the fifth chapter, it says, this book of the generations of Jesus Christ goes on to say about how God made man and everything, and he called their name Adam. So we are Adam. We are the human family. We are the ones that he came to seek and to save. So we got to have that mentality like the psalmist David had. Realize that I'm not going to fear you, devil. You get the worst. And then so that's why Jesus says, don't fear him that can kill the body. But he said, rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So what is it? When you fear God, God doesn't want us going around with the fear that we think that, but the fear that God is talking about is the reverential fear. We fear him because we love him. We have reverential fear. We have respect for him because we love him, and we want to do what he says, and we glorify him for who he is, and knowing that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and he has our best interests at hand. So you know, you get to heaven, you're only going to see one, not three, not two, but one. Like the psalm says, yes, there's one, only one. Blessed, blessed Jesus. He's the one. When afflictions press my soul in a way of billows roll, when you need someone to help you, he's the one. So he's the one. And his name is Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess. Apostle Paul said that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You got to realize who he is. So we thank God for his word, and we'll talk to you on next time. God bless. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That's truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.